Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020#. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you again to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render all your powers null and void. And you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and we covenant with you. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, praise God. We are going to continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Again, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to read verse number 1. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So we see here right now that this particular scripture is talking about the spiritual gifts. And Paul the apostle is telling us he do not want us to be ignorant. Now, we're going to continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which comprise of 9 gifts. Now, the apostle Paul informed us that he says he does not want us, the body of Christ, to be ignorant, which means not to know, a lack of intelligence or information regarding the Holy Spirit or anything in regards to God's word. Yet, a gross ignorance does exist concerning these things within the church. The Holy Spirit, as we found out via scripture, is the third person of the Godhead, not the Trinity, but the Godhead, because the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The other two of the Godhead is God the Father, the Son, and of course the Holy Spirit make up the Godhead. So the Godhead is the proper name for the deity of God. He was sent and given to the body of Christ to be our comforter and helper here on earth. He is not here to do the work for us, but to come along beside us in our assignment here on earth. He is also known as the Spirit of Truth, and he will bring all things to our remembrance. Now, these gifts are divided into three categories of gifts. And the simplest way to describe these nine gifts is that there are three of them that say something. Three of them do something, and three of them reveal something. Now, the three that say something are known as the vocal gifts, and they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Again, the three that say something are the vocal gifts, and they are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Next, the three that do something are known as the power gifts, and they are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. Again, the three that do something are the power gifts, and they are faith or special faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. And finally, the three that reveal something are known as the revelation gifts, and they are word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Again, the three that reveal something are known as the revelation gifts, and they are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Now, all these gifts are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and they are distributed to each one individually as the Spirit wills. We do not own these gifts. They are only distributed and used through us as the Spirit wills. Now, we have already discussed the first category or set of gifts, which are the vocal gifts, which are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretation of tongues. We have prophecy, which is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue or language. It is not like prophecy of the Old Testament, which was to foretell or proclaim things or event which were to happen. But prophecy in the New Testament simply speaks to men to edify, to exhort, and comfort the body of Christ. Again, prophecy in the New Testament simply means to edify, to exhort, and to comfort the body of Christ. You can find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 3. Then there's diverse kinds of tongues, which is the supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker, not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily always understood by the hearer. Tongues are primarily a devotional gift to be used in our prayer life in the praise and worship of God. Let me repeat that, because I think it's so very important, because a lot of people are confused about this tongue business. But tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in languages never learned by the speaker, not understood by the mind of the speaker, nor necessarily always understood by the hearer. Tongues are primarily a devotional gift to be used in our prayer life in the praise and worship of God. It's also used to edify our inner man. Amen. And finally, the interpretation of tongues, which is the supernatural revelation by the Spirit of the meaning of the speaking in other tongues or languages. It is not a translation of the tongues. It is the interpretation of tongues. Let me repeat that. Finally, the interpretation of tongues, which is the supernatural revelation by the Spirit of the meaning of the speaking in other tongues or languages. It is not a translation of the tongues or what was spoken, but it is a interpretation of the tongues or what was spoken. Now, our last time together, we had started teaching on the second set of gifts, which were the power gifts. They include the gifts of faith or special faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Now, we have covered faith or special faith, and we discussed how special faith can be used for our personal protection. Remember, we looked at King Darius and his relationship with Daniel and how Daniel was thrown in the lion's den for not yielding to the decree that everyone for the next 30 days had to kneel down and pray only to Daniel and not to any other king or idol. But Daniel was accused, and which he was, he prayed to his Lord as he has done, or as it was his custom. He was turned in by the other governors and satraps to King Darius, and Daniel was thrown into the lion's dens. But God was with Daniel, and God sent his angels to close the mouths of the lions, and Daniel was not harmed. As a result, because Daniel was saved by his God, he was not only saved, but he prospered during the reign of King Darius and Cyrus the Persian. So we see here that special faith was used for personal protection. And we can also use special faith in our lives for special protection. We also looked at special faith for the raising of the dead. And we learned that the gifts of the Spirit often operate together, which is such the case in raising the dead. Let me repeat that. The gifts of faith for the raising the dead is also used in the raising of the dead, but also along with other gifts. We learned that the gifts of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing all operate together and are manifested in this process. This is one reason we don't see the raising of the dead as often, because some Christians may have one or more of these gifts in operation in their lives, but not too many have all of them in operation at once. Amen. They might have one or two of them, but not all of them at once. We learn that one such man did have these gifts operating in his life. His name was Smith Wigglesworth. He is credited on raising 14 people from the dead. Remember, God is not a respecter of people. What he does for one, he's obligated by his word to do for another, but all things being equal. So if Smith Wigglesworth raised the dead, it is conceivable for you to raise the dead. Amen? Remember, Wigglesworth did not own these gifts. They were manifested in his ministry as the Spirit will. Amen. He didn't own them, but his thing was he believed the word of God. So don't think he had the ability to manifest these gifts when he wanted to. No, it only manifested as the Spirit will. He, Smith Wigglesworth, believed what God had told him in his word, that these signs will follow him that believe. Amen. These signs will follow them that believe. Now, my question is, do you believe? Do you believe these same signs, what we read in Mark 16, will manifest in your life? Do you believe it? Now, we had just began our studies on the gifts of miracles when we had to stop because of time. So let's begin there. Now, we've established that a miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order of nature through the Spirit of God. Amen. Let me repeat that. A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature. It is a temporary suspension of the accustomed order of nature through the Spirit of God. Now let's go to Exodus chapter 14. Again, that's Exodus chapter 14. And we're going to look at a situation that happened in the Bible with the children of Israel after 400 years of captivity in Egypt. Pharaoh finally let the children go, but he had a change of heart of what he had done, and he decided to go after them and bring them back to Egypt. Facing the mountains on one side, the wilderness on the other, and the sea was in front of them, the children of Israel knew that the enemy was behind them, their situation deemed hopeless. But Moses looked to the Lord for the protection of the people. Remember, I said that more than one gift can work at any given time. So here in this circumstance, we had two of the gifts in operation at the same time. The working of miracles, which divided the sea, but it took faith to keep them divided. So we had special faith and the working of miracles working in this event. Now, please follow along when I read. We're going to begin reading at verse number 8. And we see a working of a miracle, a divine intervention in the ordinary course of nature, and special faith, the belief in God in such a way that he honors his word as his own, and he miraculously began to pass. Amen? So beginning with verse number 8, and it says, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. However, the children of Israel went out with confidence, but the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea beside Phi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And verse number 10, it says, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and indeed the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were extremely terrified So the children of Israel cried out to Moses. Then they said to Moses, "Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, 'Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians'? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." So the children of Israel, after they released, they looked behind them and found out that the Egyptians were coming after them to bring them back to slavery. And they wanted to go back at one point because they were satisfied with what they were doing. Even though they cried, it seemed as if they were satisfied in serving Egypt. But Moses said in verse number 13, he says to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord." And so eventually what had happened, we see that God told Moses to take his rod and point it out and lift it over the sea and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. In verse number 16, it says, "And as for you, lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it. Then the children of Israel shall go on dry land through the midst of the sea." And so Moses did what God commanded him to do. He lifted up his rod and the sea divided. And then the children of Israel walked across the floor of the sea on dry land and went to safety across the other side of the sea. The Egyptians followed, thinking that they could cross over on dry land. But what Moses did, he stretched out his rod again, and the waters receded back to where they naturally should be, and the Egyptian drowned. So we see here the workings of miracles to deliver God's people from unavoidable danger. The gift of faith also was used to carry It was used to maintain the sea from falling back to its natural state prior to them crossing over into dry land. The gift of faith will carry a person through the danger without him being harmed at all. But the working of miracles is different. It will actually change the circumstances causing the danger. So we read in this event, regarding the children of Israel, two things: the workings of miracles, which deliver God's people from unavoidable danger. And we see that the gift of faith, which was also in operation, and it carried the children of Israel through the danger without him being harmed at all. Amen. So we see at the third power gift we're going to deal with now, which is the third power gift, which is the gift of healings, the gifts of healing. Now, if we notice, it is the gifts of healings, which is plural. There is no such thing as the gift of healing, but the gifts of healings. Now, please go to the book of Acts, chapter 10. The book of Acts, chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 38. And it says, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all of those oppressed of the devil." So we see here that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit. So it's telling us that God anointed Jesus. So apparently he was not filled or was not anointed with the Holy Spirit. And then we see the conjunction and with power. So he not only anointed him with the Holy Spirit, but with the power or the authority. And with the Holy Spirit and that power and authority, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Amen. Now, I might have some difficulty because of my limited knowledge in defining some of the other nine gifts, but there should be little difficulty in defining the gifts of healing. It should be little difficulty in defining the gifts of healing. Just about everyone understands about healing. Of course, Jesus brought healing into prominence by his own ministry. He also gave authority to his disciples to heal the sick. Please go with me to Matthew chapter 10. Again, that's Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 8. And this is Jesus speaking. And he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, and cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you have given. Amen. Well, I'm out of time, but not out of messages. But please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.